Normally, I do PowerPoints. First speech I ever did, my wife in the room, from memory, I would do everything. But my brain went white. First and only time my brain ever went white. By the end of the speech, all I could remember was that I was, and you could see my nipples. I was so drenched with sweat. I forgot everything. So this is the first time I've done a speech without a PowerPoint since, so let's hope it goes better than it did the last time. I want to comment on a few things Andy said before I get going. First of all, Andy, thank you for the kind introduction. It means a lot. Relationships have defined my success in this industry, 100%. Andy, you're one of the good guys, and I didn't know that when I spoke with you, but you are one of the good guys, and I'm proud to call you a friend. Also honored to be here. I don't know if this is going in and out. I can't tell. Is this going in and out? All right, so he's right. Answer the phone. You know, people who reach a level of success didn't do it alone. I did the same thing with Rick Rule. I called him up, said, can I make a presentation to you? I went there 25 years ago, and I've worked with him closely ever since. Every client he's ever sent to buy physical metal came through my company, and I feel the same way you do. Sometimes you're just like blown away by it. How did that happen? It's because people who are serially successful like to help and pay it forward. That's been my experience. Sean Kunku, another guy, went out to dinner with him, talked with him. He's here. It's the key to everything. Relationships have been the cornerstone of my success, so I appreciate you saying that. And I've always focused on the why. The what to me is irrelevant. The why is everything, like you said. Why do you need to do it? That's why I spend all the time I do. I've done 6,000 YouTube videos in the last 6 years. Because it's the why that matters. Sometimes I ask myself, why do I still do this? We started in an office the size of a closet in 1989 before the internet. We've eclipsed $14 billion in sales. Never had a customer complaint. And, you know, I ask myself, do I still want to do this? Do I still need to do this? I love what I do. I have never woken up ever and said, damn it, I gotta go to work today. It's a passion of mine. And I wish more people understood the why that we all understand. Most of us, my wife says, if you open your damn mouth when we walk in that door before Thanksgiving dinner, I am going to kill you, because I typically get into an argument with someone about politics or economics or whatever. It's just because you want to help. A lot of people don't understand it. So I have embarked upon a mission of trying to break down complex things and make them easy to understand, because in reality, the why is all that matters. Why do we need to talk about gold? Why do we need to own gold and silver? To me, gold and silver is not an investment. When I started that company with my father 36 years ago, as a kid who went to the University of Minnesota to play baseball, and in a moment of stupidity playing pickup basketball blew out my knee and ended my aspirations of being a baseball player. My father said, you will buy something every 2 weeks or I'll fire you. All right, that's the only rule. I can deal with that, Dad. It's the best gift I've ever been given, ever, ever. I have bought something every 2 weeks for 36 years. I have never missed a 2 week period, ever. It is wealth to me. It is not an investment. It is wealth that has lived through two world wars and German hyperinflation and the Great Depression and every pandemic and everything. And as you'll see in my speech tonight, the most well-informed traders on the planet seem to understand this. Gold and silver were mentioned 700 times cumulatively in the Bible. And the most well-informed and well-financed people on the planet understand this. Most people don't. I will try and explain that to you best I can. Hopefully I am able to do so without breaking into a sweat, because I don't have a PowerPoint to lean on, because I felt it was important to be kind of relevant to what's going on and timely. because things are changing very, very, very frequently these days. And case in point, you know, the war. We're told that because it's in the Gulf and oil goes up and the CPI goes up, well, the Fed obviously, well, they can't be dovish. So gold's not going to do anything. And I say that's just such a bunch of crap, it's not even funny, right? Because they forget the fact that 2 years ago, or 2019 rather, let's go back a little bit longer, the federal funds rate was pretty damn near, well, 2021, let's say, pretty damn well near zero, and gold was $1,900. We watched a 450 point basis point rise in gold, in interest rates in 1 year, and look at gold, it's almost triple. It's a convenient argument. That's what the mainstream believes, and it's not true. And by the way, Tom Luongo is one of the most interesting guys I've ever talked to, too. You should all check him out. He's very, very fascinating man, and I cite your work in many of my podcasts, many of them, and I give you credit on every single one of them. It's not true, right? Mm-hmm. I've been doing this since every war, going back to the original Gulf War, and every single war that involves oil, what happens? The dollar goes up, assets get sold off. My dear departed friend, Jim Sinclair, used to call it MOPE, Management of Perception Economics. Like, why the hell would they be selling gold right now? He would call it MOPE. The mainstream says, well, it's a rush to liquidity. Okay, let's take it at that. Rush to liquidity. Everything sells off. What goes up? Well, I'll tell you what goes up. Typically, bonds go up. Interest rates go down. What happened this time? No, not the case. Interest rates have gone up. Bond prices have gone down. All of this is about trust and the lack of trust in our institutions, in our political, in our geopolitical, in our markets, in the COMEX market, treasuries, rehypothecation, sanctioning, taking the Russian treasuries and giving them to the Ukraine in the form of weapons, crossing the line as the world reserve currency. Remember, the United States has been in Iraq for 23 years under false pretenses, and they're still there. The world says, how can they do that? How can they be judge, jury, and executioner? All of these things are combined. They're all part of the same story. You look at one little piece, and that piece, and that piece, and that piece. Interesting, put them all together and it becomes a very important story. So I'm going to kind of try and tell you a little bit of a story right now. I'm going to put my glasses on only for the facts and figures because I can't remember all the numbers. But, you know, let's start with January. The market collapses. It's over. The mainstream media tells you it's over. The market's collapsed. It's not coming back. It's 1980. It's 2011. Sell your gold. It was overvalued. It was overbought. Sell it. What they don't tell you is that the Bank of International Settlements, the most powerful bank on the planet, said something that really not many people noticed. I sure did. And I looked at it like they were taking the U.S. and the CME group to the woodshed. They said, why in God's green earth would you jack up margin rates 300% leading into the rebalancing of levered ETFs. The second week, first and second week in January, something happens. Every year, it's notorious, ETFs need to be rebalanced according to their prospectus. So we had a run-up of week after week after week after week into the new year of silver and gold going to the moon. And then what happens? The ETFs get rebalanced. At the same time, the CME group jacked up margin rates by 300%. Let me explain this to you. We will normally have 2 million ounces of silver in our warehouse, okay? On December 1st, it would cost me roughly $15,000 to hedge 5,000 ounces of silver. By early January, that cost me $54,000 to hedge that same amount. So if I'm a speculator who's buying contracts, or if I'm a company like mine hedging an inventory, my cost to hedge that inventory or their cost to buy a contract in terms of margin, just money sitting idle in an account as collateral, went from $15,000 for 5,000 ounces to hedge or to speculate on to $54,000. And if you don't pay Every time they raise the margins, within 24 hours, you get margin called. And they're going to sell your position if you don't post the collateral. We would have to have $50 million sitting in a margin account to hedge our inventory as a large precious metals dealer. That's just for the silver. Forget about gold and platinum and palladium. You have to have a hell of a lot of money to play in this game. So at the same time they did this, the ETFs were being rebalanced. So the ETFs have to sell, and the selling begets more selling, begets more selling, and the margin rates are going higher and higher. Every bit of speculation was vaporized. They either covered or they left the market. At the worst possible time, they decide to jack margins up to this level. So the BIS came out and said what? And by the way, the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements, is the most powerful bank on the planet. They are the central bank or central bank. They said something very important. For any of you who own gold and silver, they said the following, that the correction in the precious metals market was structural, it was orchestrated, it was synthetic, it was not fundamental. Okay, with that being said, I'm gonna put on my glasses to read some facts and figures. As the price of silver was getting smashed, China bought more silver in January, February, and March than they ever have in recorded history. Ever in recorded history. Took possession. They are the second largest producer of silver in the world. And they bought more silver and imported more silver than ever before as silver was getting its teeth knocked in. Let me give you those numbers. In March alone, they bought 836 tons. That's up 78% month over month, 173% above the 10-year seasonal average. Now, for the quarter, 90 days, they bought 1,626 tons, which is 52.3 million troy ounces or $4 billion worth of silver. They flipped from net exporter to net importer. The largest refiner, or one of the largest refiners in the world of silver, came out and said, we're not going to export nearly as much as we used to. And at the same time, they're the second largest producer in the world, and they said none of our domestic mining inventory will be sold to the public. So the largest, one of the largest exporters on the planet is now net importer, and has imported in 90 days over $4 billion worth of silver, the largest amount of silver ever recorded being imported into China as the price was being obliterated. Back home, 26 million ounces delivered in February for 18 months, or actually, go back the entire year of 2025, every single month, month over month over month over month over month, we are seeing deliveries into the COMEX market that nobody has ever seen before. Nobody. Less than 1% of contracts ever stood for delivery on the COMEX market. And every single month, we are seeing massive deliveries. I'm going to use February as an example because to me, it sets the stage for what I'm trying to convey to you. In February, 26 million ounces were delivered to COMEX, but 39 million ounces left COMEX. 39 million ounces is 2,700,000 pounds of silver. 2.7 million ounces of silver got on trucks and left the COMEX warehouses in New York. Where the hell did they go? And who the hell is buying 2.7 million pounds of silver and taking possession, running logistics, putting them on an armada of semi-trucks? Where is it going? Who is buying it? But this has been every single month, month over month over month over month over month, non-stop. The most well-informed traders on the planet are doing this. Is there any coincidence, do you think, that silver was classified a critical mineral after 18 straight months of deliveries that are so far outside the realm of what is considered normal? It's 4 feet of snow in Death Valley in July. That's how unusual it truly is. So we talked, that's silver, right? So, but by the way, you know, they used to ask Wayne Gretzky, how the hell were you such a good hockey player? I've seen him at Trump International when I've been golfing there a few times. He's a little guy. He's not a big guy. And they say, how were you so good? Because he skated to where the puck is going, not to where the puck is. Do you think these people who have been importing gold and silver every single month for 18 months, to the tune of billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars every month, when it never happened, do you think they do this just for the hell of it? They know where the puck is going. The most well-informed traders on the planet for the last 7 years have been doing this. That'd be the central banks. Now, all of a sudden, I believe someone got to the Trump administration and said, if we do not do this, it's game over. The BRICS nations are draining all of the gold and silver out of all of the world's exchanges. If we don't get into this game, it's over. And it has been every single month. And the media has missed this 100%. They talk about whatever they want to talk about gold and silver, usually negative. There is not 1 ounce of journalistic integrity in the mainstream say, who the hell is doing this? Who's buying it all? Who's taking possession of it all? It's never happened, ever. And we're talking nine figures every month. Do you think these people screw around? Do you think they know where the puck is going? Ask yourself this. Well, the central banks have been doing it forever. They started doing it in 2017. What did the Bundesbank say? Give me back my gold. Shortly after that, and they said this to the New York Federal Reserve and to the Bank of England, the Bank of Hungary, Turkey, Poland, the Czech National Bank, the Dutch National Bank, give us back our gold. The next year in 2018, those same banks bought more gold as a group than they did in the 60 years previously combined. In 2019, the BIS, there they are, powerful bank in the world, reclassifies gold as a tier one asset. Do you think there's any coincidence that those banks front ran for a year and a half? Again, information at that level is more valuable than anything. And I will ask you again, do you think that the people who've been doing this in the United States for 18 months, do you think they're doing it for the hell of it? The answer is no. Let's talk about gold. March imports of gold in China, 162 tons, the highest since March 24, 2024, third consecutive monthly increase and 17th consecutive monthly purchase. The Chinese are playing a much different game than we are, a much, much different game, and they are using every opportunity of our foolishness to suppress paper prices, to stand for delivery in unlimited quantities. And they're not telling us how much they're buying. If the People's Liberation Army accumulates gold, as they do not need to tell the IMF. And by the way, the countries that report to the IMF do so voluntarily, right? They got caught taking gold from Switzerland, the import-export numbers flagged it. Oh, we're sorry, it was an oversight. If it's purchased by a proxy bank, they don't need to say anything. They are using every opportunity of the foolish Western suppression on paper markets to stand for delivery across the globe and drain the world's supply of gold and silver. They are playing 3D chess, we're playing checkers. And I will tell you, it is not stopping. In quarter one, in 90 days of this year, the first 90 days, they accumulated 365 tons of gold. That's 11.7 million ounces. That's $54 billion worth of gold in 90 days. The Chinese are accumulating. But that's every single month they're doing this, nonstop. They are setting up a system that I'll talk about briefly, a parallel system that will use gold as a settlement vehicle, usurping treasuries. That is what's gonna happen. They're already dumping treasuries. They've cut their treasury supply in half, and they're accumulating gold, which has done what? It has doubled the performance of the 10-year treasury for 25 years. And in the last 2 years, it's 10x'd it. But what does the treasury market have, or what does gold have that the treasury doesn't? No counterparty risk. Can't be sanctioned, can't be taken. If you own it, you own it. And that's what they're doing. And that's what all of the countries in the BRICS nations are doing. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But let's bring it closer to home. Every single COMEX gold contract month in 2025, every one of them, set all-time delivery records for 18 straight months on massive deliveries, which is an anomaly, every single COMEX delivery in 2025 set a record, an all-time record, every single one of them. Do you think that the people who are taking delivery in the United States, when less than 1% of COMEX contracts for 35 years I've been doing this, less than 1% stood for delivery my whole career? And now, every single contract in 2025 set all-time records. Do you think these people screw around? They don't. They don't. They know where the puck is going. I'm telling you, they know where it's going. In February of this year, 76,567 contracts, or 7.65 million ounces, 35.2 billion in physical gold, delivered a new all-time record in February after silver got its ass, or gold got its ass obliterated. So the price, right? Who's selling gold, right? Oh, the largest delivery into COMEX in the history of the market. The largest deliveries of silver ever in China, as the price was getting obliterated synthetically by jacking up margins by 300%, right? And oh, at the exact same time, we're going to rebalance all the ETFs. You are guaranteed to watch a waterfall of prices. They knew what they were doing. They were flushing the speculators. Every single speculator got their ass handed to them. So did companies like mine, who had to post millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars just to keep the doors open. So did all the refineries. The refiners with 50 million in gold and silver that they paid out to the public. Now they're getting margin called every single day. Margin, margin, margin. They stopped taking business. 4 months backed up all the refiners that I work with. 4 months. Because of synthetically jacking up margins at the same time ETFs are rebalancing. All right, let's keep going. For context, the entire five-year period of 2015 to 2019 averaged only 130 tons per year. February of this year, 238 tons in 1 month as the price was getting destroyed. What is price? A tool of misdirection. Any of you read The Art of War by Sun Tzu, 5th century military strategist? Misdirection. Beat your opponent without throwing a punch. Bill Belichick would read it for formulating game strategy. It's taught in almost every major business school in the world on corporate hierarchy. It's taught in almost every major law school in the world on formulated arguments. It's mandatory reading at CIA, mandatory reading at West Point. How do you beat your opponent? You misdirect through price. Most people see the price and run for the hills. The mainstream media is complicit in this nonsense because all they do is focus on the noise, and not one of them has said, yeah, but who the hell just stood for delivery? All-time record. And every month for 18 months before that, same damn thing. And for 2025, every delivery set all-time records. Where the hell is that information? Because doesn't that betray the nonsense of price misdirection? Why do you think all of these countries are dumping treasures? Because they do not trust us anymore. And we have given them every reason to do so. Whether we sanction their treasuries or whether our markets are a joke. Four freaking glitches on the COMEX market since Thanksgiving. Twice on the upside as gold and silver were rallying. Oh, the server overheated on Thanksgiving night. These servers, the only one of the 1,000 commodities traded on COMEX, just happened to be in gold. And yeah, we're sorry, for 11 hours on Thanksgiving night, when everyone's trading, obviously, at 11 at night on Thanksgiving, their server's overheated. Forget about the triple redundancy to cool it. They overheated four times, twice on the downside. The circuit breakers didn't work. We're sorry. Do you know when Jeffrey Epstein supposedly died? Let's say he did. Okay, he did. The night before he died, his cellmate was transferred to another prison, and the security cameras broke in this maximum security federal prison, and the guards fell asleep. They're lying right to us. How stupid do we have to be? How naive do we have to be to believe that our markets are not rigged? And what is happening? The world gets it, and they are using it to their advantage against us. by playing the game. The only reason they're not pissed off is because they look and laugh at our stupidity by manipulating the price, and they're taking advantage of it through delivery, which nobody ever did. No one ever stood for delivery. This is what breaks the market, standing for delivery. And it gets worse, for sure. So all of this on top of 9 straight years of purchasing by the central banks, the countries, in my mind, are preparing for a parallel settlement system outside the US dollar. That is what they're doing. They are going to, look, the dollar is still the rails for liquidity, for transactions. But holding dollars is the same thing as holding a melting ice cube in your hand, right? The dollar is losing value precipitously. But not only that, who in their right mind would hold a 10-year treasury? I mean, really? Are you stupid? You want to hold a 10-year treasury paying 4% when money creation is moving way past that? And they can be created out of thin air, just like they create money and buy treasuries, or they can be sanctioned? Why would you ever do that when gold has literally averaged 9.9% gain for the last 25 years? 40% 2 years ago, 50% last year, 10, 12x the treasury market with no counterparty risk. Do you think there's any coincidence? And we're supposed to believe that the Cayman Islands is one of the largest holders of US treasuries now. Interesting. All right, so they are building a new monetary architecture. It's called SIPS and it's called Embridge. Let's talk about SIPS for a moment. The Cross Interbank Payment System. I can give you the numbers on it, actually. The numbers on SIPS, since 2015, it's been live. 6.3 trillion processed last in 2024. 1,400 members in 100 countries. China just signed the Asian countries, AFEAN, Southeast Asian countries, 800 million people, twice the population of the United States, to the SIPS program. They represent 30% of global GDP. They are China's largest trading partner by far. Okay, they're gonna use SIPS. What does that mean? Well, that means that they will use their own currency trading over a system that is not compliant with SWIFT or the West or the dollar. They will trade using their own currency and settle imbalances in gold. That is what is happening. I'm gonna show you that in a moment. However, if you're not trading in dollars, slowly that chips away at the dollar settlement status. And if you don't have as many dollars that you need to recycle back into treasuries, chipping away at the reserve status, little by little by little by little. It's called logarithmic decay. Suddenly, then gradually, then suddenly, you know, it's happening. When you can take 800 million people that have less incentive to own dollars and less incentive to own treasuries, it's the beginning. Well, how about Embridge? Embridge is even bigger. Embridge was a cross-border payment system, and both of these are operational, by the way. Embridge was designed by China, Hong Kong, Thailand, the United Arab Emirates, who just left OPEC. Think about that for a minute. And Saudi Arabia, through the Bank of International Settlements Innovation Hub, who really pissed off the BRICS, really pissed them off. That's why you guys aren't hearing a lot about the BRICS, because 2 years ago, right when they were going to announce that Enbridge was operational, this guy named Augustus Carstens, looks just like Augustus from Willy Wonka, grown up, and he said, you know, we've helped design this Enbridge for the last several years with China, Hong Kong, Thailand, UAE. Saudi Arabia came on a little bit later. But we can't be involved. This is 1 month before they're going to release it. We can't be involved with any technology that would allow countries to escape and sidestep Western sanctions. It was as if they just realized that Russia was the R in BRICS for the first time and backed out of it. So we're pulling the plug. So China took it over. It is now the BRICS bridge. It is operational. They are using central bank digital currencies to trade with other central banks, free from SWIFT intervention, settling imbalances in gold. How are they going to do this? It's already operational. It is the expansion of the Shanghai Gold Exchange. This is where it gets very interesting. What I'm getting at, what I'm trying to get you guys to get, is that gold is being rewoven into the monetary system globally. 1,000%. Gold is being rewoven into the monetary system. Whether you get it or not, you will at some point. As God is my witness, it is happening if you open your eyes. And nowhere do you see this better than in the expansion of the Shanghai Gold Exchange. What are they doing? So the first expansion, there's two in Shanghai, one in Shenzhen, one in Saudi Arabia, one in Hong Kong right now. What is the relevance of the new vault built in Hong Kong? When gold leaves China, it must come out of Hong Kong. They just finished, and it's operational, the next one in Saudi Arabia. Let's play this out, shall we? Okay, well, let's say the UAE wants to sell their oil to China for digital yuan, but they really don't want the yuan. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but it doesn't matter because they can take that digital yuan. What did China just do? They made digital yuan convertible into gold without going into dollars like that. Oh, great. I'll take the gold and we'll take it out of Hong Kong. Please deliver it to us. What if Saudi Arabia does it? Oh, that's right. There's a vault in their own backyard now. We'll take gold for that. Thank you very much. We don't need treasures. We don't need dollars. We will trade our own currencies and strengthen our own monetary ecosystem. Screw the U.S. is what they're all saying. And if you don't think they're saying it, I got a bridge to sell you. Do you think that the UAE left OPEC for the hell of it? No, they can now sell oil in yuan all day long. They are not beholden to OPEC. And let me tell you something. Where's the next vaults being built by the Shanghai Exchange? In the UAE. Oh my God, it's crazy. Switzerland, where else are they doing it? UAE, Switzerland, Singapore, Malaysia, he said Dubai, and every single country throughout the Belt Road Initiative. Do you know what the Belt Road Initiative is? If you don't, you all should. It is the largest infrastructure project in human history. And it's being built by China. There's roads and bridges and maritime channels. They come into underdeveloped countries all through Africa and Asia and South America, and they build their infrastructure and they take a piece of the pie. It's not perfect, but they do things unlike the United States, who does it with a sword and a stick. They do it cooperatively. What is the name of their largest regional military organization in the world? The Shanghai Cooperation Organization. They do things in a cooperative manner. They are now building something called BRICS Pay. BRICS Pay is a credit card or an app on your phone that allows you, by the way, the Belt Road, 75% of human population, 50% of global GDP before they're even industrialized. BRICS Pay. You go into any of these countries, you live in Brazil and you want to go on a trip to China, use your BRICS Pay card. Instantly outside of SWIFT, settles. It is free from SWIFT intervention. So now people are able in all of these countries to stay away from the US dollar. Little by little by little by little by little, it chips away. And all of the people in this country, the geniuses who are blinded by recency and normalcy bias, should really understand a trillion seconds ago was 31,688 years ago. We are 200 trillion in debt. 40 trillion, yes, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, government military pensions, and we have the fiscal responsibility of a third grader in a candy store with his mother's wallet. And we do. And why would anyone trust us? I'm a patriot. I thank God I was born in the United States every day. I do. I mean, I outworked people. I've grinded and outworked people, but because of the opportunities. But I gotta tell you, if you don't look at what the other side is thinking, you won't get it. The rest of the world is pissed off, and they're sick and tired of our hegemony, and they're sick and tired of our irresponsibility fiscally and monetarily, and our heavy hand around the globe. It's okay for us to invade Iraq and not find the weapons, destroy their country, turn their country upside down, and there's no consequences. But if they do this to protect their own, whatever their reasoning is, I'm not passing judgment on either of the wars, Ukraine, Russia, Iraq, but you're out of SWIFT, your treasuries are gone, and we're going to take those treasuries and give it to the country you're in a war with in the form of weapons, enriching who? the military-industrial complex, who does what? Suppresses silver. Why? Why is silver suppressed? Because there's tons of silver in all of the high-tech weaponry, all of it. Cruise missiles, F-35, stealth bombers, submarines, they all need silver. It's not because they want the, they don't care how high the price goes, it's inelastic, a little bit in a huge ticket item. If the world knew how scarce silver really was, ask Sean Kuhn, he'll tell you, how scarce is silver? It's damn scarce. It used to come out of the ground at 16-to-1 ratio to gold, now it's 7-to-1. It's depleting. It's depleting in nature. It's found near the surface called epithermal, right near the top of your skin is epidermis, right there. It's disappearing. You gotta dig further. 15-20% of all the silver mined last year came from companies that mine silver. The rest of it came from companies that mine anything else, copper, lead, zinc. It's disappearing. It's hard to get, and it's needed, and it's got plurality in uses. Military, industrial, monetary, on and on and on. There is no better investment on the planet than silver, but I don't call it an investment, it's wealth, and has been for 6,000 years. All right, we're getting close now. So here's the bottom line. The end game is a precious metals-backed trade system where all of these countries are gonna trade over systems like SIPS and Enbridge, and they're going to settle imbalances in gold, which has no counterparty risk and outperforms the treasury market and has a finite supply. And it's happening. It is happening. Right in front of us, it's happening. We're all gonna wake up one day and say, oh my God, what the hell just happened? What just happened? Now maybe at that point, there's that tsunami of dollars that come rushing home and overwhelm us with hyperinflation. We're not really not anywhere near that yet. But it is coming, and if you don't open your eyes and see the de-dollarization, and if this were a word, the de-treasurization, so, you know, it's happening. Let's just leave it at that. All right, so now comes my theory, all right? Now, I am either stupid as hell or I'm courageous enough to say this. I was one of the only people in 2019 screaming about the BRICS. No one was talking about it, nobody. I did thousands of videos on it, and I was proven mostly right. I'm gonna say what I feel, I'm gonna say it's my opinion. I don't know for sure, but I wanna ask you guys a question. Any of you who have children, I have three. We are $200 trillion in debt, okay? Ray Dalio just came out and said, 60% of this country has a literacy rate at the sixth grade level or below. So we're uneducated, okay? So we're broke, we're uneducated, we're insolvent, we're very close to that 130% of debt to GDP threshold that no one's ever come back from without hyperinflating or defaulting. Broke, insolvent, uneducated. Oh, that's right, Triffin's dilemma, which is the world reserve currency dilemma that says if you are the world reserve currency, you will always have a trade imbalance and it will hollow out your manufacturing base because the world needs more dollars than we can give a country like Cambodia just through trade. So Cambodia has to sell their currency to buy ours continuously to buy oil, which against ours relative makes their currency very inexpensive. Let's send our manufacturing to Cambodia, we'll make millions. That's how your manufacturing base has been offshored globally. Countries like Cambodia and Vietnam, who just joined the BRICS, and China, who is the BRICS, and all of these other countries who have devalued their currency against the US dollar forever. So, we make nothing, we're broke, we're uneducated, and, by the way, let's just say it one more time, trillion seconds ago, 31,688 years ago, how the hell do we pay off $200 trillion in debt? Someone figure that out in the back of a napkin. Let me know. Just in time for AI to come and kneecap all the good paying jobs, my son who works for me now was getting paid $75,000 to analyze a real estate investment trust balance sheet for Price Waterhouse. What do you need to pay a kid 80 grand a year to analyze a balance sheet when AI does it in 3 seconds for free? Think about what AI is gonna do to all the jobs. So let's put this all together. Broke, insolvent, don't make anything, uneducated, and here's AI. Huh, sounds great, right? So how could we ever fix this?
All right.
So I've been trying to think about this, and I'm going to tell you my theory. Now, again, my theory. I don't know if I'm right, but it starts like this. First thing you would have to do is reshore all the gold. You'll see why I say that. Oh, that's right. We have been. But the media won't tell you about it, right? They say it's arbitrage. They say it was tariffs. I say, pardon my French. Bullshit. It wasn't. It was reshoring. 100% reshoring. Why? Well, that's what I'm going to tell you right now. So you reshore the gold. That's step number one. Step number two, let's call something the Genius Act, right? What's the Genius Act? How many, be honest, all right, be honest. How many, raise a hand. How many people know what the Genius Act is? Okay, we got about four. Tom Malongo's one.
Dr. Wood.
We got like four people who understand what the Genius Act is. You guys, if you don't understand what the Genius Act is, well, you're going to learn right now, but this is my point. The media does nothing but foment divisiveness. They tell us nothing that's important. The Genius Act is law, you all, and by next January, you will know intimately what the Genius Act is. It goes into effect. Let me tell you what the Genius Act is. It's diabolically genius. It is. Okay, here's how it goes. Anytime money moves from January of next year, wherever, it will be on a blockchain network. You won't notice any difference other than when you send money to whoever you send money to or buy something, it'll transfer like that, like Venmo, like Zelle. It's instant transfer, right? Backed by stable coins, right? So think of the blockchain as the highway, the stable coin as the car. What is backing those stable coins? Oh, interesting. Short-term treasuries, 90 days or less. Synthetic demand for the US Treasury. Everyone says this Warsh guy is a hawk. Really? How hawkish can you be when anytime money moves, whether you buy a pack of cigarettes or a new car, it's backed by 90-day or less short-term treasuries. What happens to the front end of the curve? It's plastered to the floor. You will have zero federal funds rate. They're not going to be able to do anything. Nothing. He's neutering that side of the dual mandate of the Fed. But any time money moves, period, it'll be backed by short-term treasuries. Instant settlement, just like that. All right? So the Clarity Act, which says, let's clarify the Stablecoin Act, says, by the way, that interest that is attached to the treasuries, it is not transferable to you or me or to the holder of the stablecoin. It is only it is held by or is the benefit for the issuer. It'll be issued by places like JP Morgan, Bank of America. The primary issuer will be USA Tether. USA Tether, who is the CEO of USA Tether? Oh, that's right, it's Bo Hines. He was Trump's crypto czar, wink, wink, nod, nod. He was his crypto czar through August. Now he's the head of the Genius Act compliant Treasury issued nonsense. But here's what's gonna happen. Now follow me on this. I'm gonna show you how they're gonna bring back manufacturing, possibly, all right? Give your kids and your grandkids a future, possibly, because otherwise, and I'm so sorry, there's trouble for you guys, right? There is. There just is. I hate to say it.
You're working for me.
Yeah, well, that's good. And I think a family business, Jana, a family business, my dear wife, who I love so much, is very important nowadays because the jobs are becoming tough. So how do you do it? And if there's any nobility in what President Trump is doing, if I'm right, God, I hope I am. I do. I don't know. This is it. All right, so you call it the Genius Act. Every time money moves, you now have synthetic demand for a treasury that people don't really want anymore, right? Just the short end, right? The front end. So the interest is not transferable. What do you do with the interest? Well, what has Tether done with the interest? Oh, that's right. They have $15 billion in gold, the largest stockpile of gold in the world outside of central banks. My guess is Bo Hines was put in there and said, you are going to sell that gold to the U.S. Treasury when the time is right. In the meantime, every time you take interest, you put it into gold. Why? Why? When Roosevelt confiscated gold in 33, what did he do? Gold was $20 an ounce, $20 gold coin. Paid everyone 20.67. 67 cents when eggs are a dozen for a nickel, that's a lot of money. Then he immediately devalued the dollar by 35%, making gold $35 an ounce, right? He devalued the dollar against gold, raised gold. You do not devalue the dollar against the dollar index because of Triffin's dilemma. Countries are selling their currency to buy ours. It's a melting ice cube. It is a wrong measuring stick. Gold is the only neutral reserve asset on the planet, neutral against every asset in the world, right? And let me show you that real quick. I know I got time here. I'm going to go as fast as I can. 2005, right? A house in the United States was $240,000. That was the average price world nationwide, middle America, right? Gold was $455. That's 530 ounces. You say, you know what? We could pay off the house and the gold that Grandpa left us, or let's take out a mortgage. Save the gold for Junior.
Right.
That gold's been sitting under your mattress now for 21 years, right? And the house is doubled. Good choice. Your house is now $500,000. That's the average price. But those 530 ounces will now buy you 5 fully furnished homes. Your house has lost 500% in gold terms. It's doubled in dollar terms. Any asset you can think of, measure it in gold, and you will see that everything against gold is falling in value. Everything in dollar is escalating in value because the dollar has the preservation quality of a melting ice cube. If you hold dollars, you will go broke. Period. Period. End of story. You hold gold, which pays no interest according to your financial advisor. Why would you hold that? It's increased 500% in 21 years against your assets. Okay. Anyways, so why would they devalue the dollar against gold? Because that is how you devalue the dollar. What does that do for you? Oh, that's right. We have a huge debt we have to somehow pay off. And what does Triffin's dilemma say? By the way, if any of you watched The Knucklehead, that is Jared Bernstein, he was the previous chief economic advisor for the Biden White House. This idiot couldn't explain how treasuries were made on X. It was the most, how they were sold and created. It was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my life. At the end of it, he's like, I don't know, it's just too complicated, I don't know. But he wrote a report called Dethroned King Dollar, which speaks to the fact that we cannot be the reserve currency anymore. It's a privilege we can't afford. Our manufacturing base has been decimated. We don't make anything anymore. We can't do it. It's a hindrance. It's not a benefit. For all the years that we were, what happened? Everyone took our dollars, reinvested in treasuries, kept interest rates low, kept our asset prices really high, and the goods we buy at Walmart cheap. You'll all have a spiritual awakening when interest rates find symmetry with value or asset prices at some point. We're not there yet. Well, you wait and see what happens when rates rise to find real value. What is your house worth at 3%? What's it worth at 13%? Ask yourself, but we can't let interest rates go that high, will we? It'll blow up. So the Genius Act plasters them down to the floor. We haven't talked about the back end of the bond market yet. That's the last piece of the puzzle. So you got Tether buying all this gold, devaluing the dollar, pushing gold higher. Bo Hines at the helm, I guarantee you that gold's going back to the treasury. This is where I'm guessing. My guess is yes. Wink, wink, nod, nod. You're all going to become rich as hell. You're giving us the gold. You'll buy the gold with the interest. You'll devalue the dollar by letting gold go higher. We want the gold for what I'm about to mention. So, Judy Sheldon. I had Judy on my show twice. This is one smart, smart, smart person. I mean, as smart as I've ever spoken to. She was Trump's nominee to run the Fed in 2016. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. She said to me, and we're gonna find out if she's right in 2 months, Andy, in no uncertain terms, when I was, and by the way, her book, Good as Gold, best-selling book, New York Times, says all of this. She's all over X, says all of this. When I was on the transition team with President Trump, he told me in no uncertain terms that on July 4th, 2026, the 250th anniversary of the country, he will back the back end of the bond market with gold. So that's what she said, okay? I didn't say this, she did. She said they'll start with a 50-year treasury and ultimately be 5, 10, 20, 30, 50. Now, what is the significance of that? Well, how do you bring back your manufacturing? We cannot be reliant on the world to make, like China, to make everything from aspirin to aircraft parts to doorknobs to everything we need. We're gonna get from a country that is kind of our foe, right? And we don't make it anymore. What are we gonna do with our kids? What jobs are they gonna get? How do we pay off this debt? What do? We must be the engine of manufacturing. How do you do it? Triffin's Dilemma says you can't. Vice President Vance piggybacked on knucklehead Bernstein and said, you're right, we can't be. He wrote about it on White House letterhead. He spoke about it, citing Triffin's Dilemma. We can't do it anymore. We can't be the reserve currency. So my mentor, God rest his soul, Richard Russell, used to say to me, Andy, the Fed has two choices. They can inflate or die, meaning default. You have three choices when you have a debt like we do. You produce your way out of it. We don't manufacture anything anymore. Well, how's that gonna happen? You inflate, that's what they all do, or you default. Well, what about a third, fourth option? Let's call it soft default on the world reserve status. Let's not make it really publicly known that we're gonna do it, but how do we do it? Well, we start by the Genius Act, which then creates synthetic demand for the treasury. The interest is passed on to the gold, which goes to the moon, which devalues the dollar. What did Judy Sheldon say? The back end of the bond market, which nobody wants anymore. Why? Because they don't trust us. We're fiscally irresponsible and we are hypocritical. Well, how do you reinstall confidence? Judy says, you make bonds redeemable in gold. The long bond, 5, 10, 20, 30, 50. The 50-year pays 1%, the rest pay squadoosh. Zero interest, redeemable in gold. Now, Van Eck funds, you all know Van Eck if you're in finance, they just came out, their emerging bond market fund said $139,000 gold if the U.S. loses reserve status. Interesting. The chief investment officer, Morgan Stanley, he says, sell half of your bonds, 60-40 rules dead. 60 stock, 40 bonds, 50 years Wall Street mantra, sell half, put it into gold. The lead analyst, Bank of America, Michael Hartnett, no, make it 25%. Jeffrey Gundlach, the bond king, made his fortune selling bonds. 25% is not overweight, he says. BlackRock, 60-40 is dead. We're going hard into commodities, including gold. Interesting. I work with a Morgan Stanley broker, a friend of mine, he's one of the biggest in Florida. $4 billion under management. He wouldn't know a gold coin if it fell on his bald head, and I'm dead serious. And I said, Russell, what the hell, man? Your CIO is telling you to buy gold. Why aren't you doing it? I don't know. They speak up here, way up here, not to the rest of us, so they can say, we told you so. Bank of America did, they did, Morgan Stanley did, Gundlach did, you weren't paying attention. Even the sophisticated brokers, they don't get it. All right, so I'm gonna put it all together now for you. So Judy says we're gonna do this. What would be the significance of having a zero coupon bond redeemable in gold? Well, first of all, you have zero upfront borrowing costs, zero, to bring back manufacturing, to pay for the facilities, to make them world class, to train people, zero. You have to pay back the gold, but what happens with every time money moves? Pay for this tonight. Everything you pay will be backed by stable coins, backed by short-term treasuries, and the issuer does not keep the interest. What if they're buying gold with it and selling it to the treasury? What happens to the price of gold? As Van Eck says, 139,000. Gold goes higher, 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 higher. Dollar goes lower, 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 lower. With the low dollar, we can sell stuff to the world, can't we? With the zero upfront borrowing costs, we can bring back manufacturing, can't we? So if you sell a $20 million bond at $4,000 an ounce gold, that's 5,000 ounces. How about at 139,000 an ounce? It's about 120 ounces. So in 20 years, when you pay off that bond at a much higher price, you give away just a little bit of your gold. The dollar gets creamed. You default on the reserve status. What are all these countries doing? They're trading their own currencies over local networks, building each and every one of their own monetary future, settling imbalances in gold. The world is moving away from paper promises to things like gold. So how do you bring back manufacturing and look young people in the face? This is how you do it. You devalue the crap out of the dollar by letting gold go to the moon. You back the back end of the treasury market with gold. Zero coupon bonds deliverable. That's right out of Judy Shelton's book. She told me this. But it makes perfect sense. Now, the only byproduct of this would be universal basic income. Trump would stand on stage and say, look, we screwed the pooch. We screwed up. This is how we have a future. This is how we produce again. We become the engine of ingenuity and growth, not just intellectual property. And we can do this, but like Andy Dufresne had to crawl through 2 miles of crap in the Shawshank Redemption to get to the other side, so too we. We must pay this off. This gives us the ability to bring back manufacturing and sell product to the world. I'm concerned. Now, even if I'm very wrong on all of this, I will tell you that the most well-informed traders on the planet are bringing in gold and silver into the United States at a level no one has ever seen before, ever, for almost 2 years. These people know where the puck is going. They do not screw around. So I'm going to leave you with one quote that has stuck with me more than just about any that I've read in the last couple of years, and it's from a guy named Adam Glapinski. Adam Glapinski is the head of the Polish National Bank, who has been buying more gold than just about any nation on the planet for the past 2 years. I'm gonna read this to you. I know I've kind of gone over, Andy, I'm sorry. This happens with me. All right. So Adam Glapinski, the governor, National Bank of Poland, September 2025. In these difficult times of global turmoil and the search for new financial order, okay, let's stop right there. Head of a central bank is saying there's a new financial order. They're searching for a new financial order. Crumbs. They drop crumbs. They always do. All right, he says, gold is the only safe investment for state reserves. Okay, so gold's the only safe investment for the new financial order for the state. But here's where it gets crazy. He says, this is for all you crypto people out there, if there's any. He says, gold will retain its value even when someone cuts off the power to the global financial system, destroying traditional assets based on electric accounting records. Let me say that one more time. Gold will retain its value even when someone cuts off the power to the global financial system, destroying traditional assets based on electric accounting records. Of course, we don't assume this will happen, but as the saying goes, forewarned is forearmed, and the central bank is required to be prepared for even the most unfavorable conditions. This is from a central banker. I don't know. All I can say is this, you guys. I have never sold gold, an ounce of gold or silver, to anyone and told them to buy it to get wealthy. It is wealth. It is wealth that has outlasted everything that has ever been thrown at it. And although history doesn't repeat, it rhymes. And the most powerful people in the world, from the central banks the last 9 years to whoever got to the Trump administration and said, dude, if this isn't done, we're dead. And now we're seeing this at a level no one has ever seen before. Buy gold and silver not to become wealthy. Buy it because it is wealth. Buy it to get out of the way of what's coming. Buy it because the smartest people on the planet are doing it. Don't do what the media says. Do what the big money does. I'm done. Thank you very much.
Hey guys, so Andy, real quick, people want to do business with you. Number one, thank you for calling. Thank you for taking the call. People want to do business with you. People want to buy from you. The best precious metal dealer, I want to say that correctly, where I buy, where do they go?
The best way to do business with us is to send us an email at info@milesfranklin.com. Let us know you saw us here. We keep a price list close to our vest. We will be, our price list that we will send you will be as good or better than anywhere in North America. We have reasons why we don't post above $10,000. We will never be undersold. Info@milesfranklin, we are happy to answer all sorts of questions long before we ever get to the point of doing business. If we do business, we did something right. Info@milesfranklin, let us know you came from Andy. Thank you, Avery.
You're very welcome. My friend, Andy Zucker. Great job.